with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And then he led them out as far as Bethany. He raised his hands and he blessed them. And as he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord. We are called today to look at the great event of the ascension of Jesus into heaven and to wonder in prayer what this means to us in our daily lives. A little background on this. The ascension is mentioned only by Luke. The other Gospels, no mention of the ascension. And it comes at the very end, chapter 24, the very end of the Gospel of Luke, and it's mentioned in the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. And as you know, originally, Luke wrote the Gospel as we have it and the Acts of the Apostles, so it was all one book. And therefore, the affinity between the end of Luke's Gospel as we have it and the beginning of the Acts, it's all one sequence and it was all one remembrance, even though it's slightly different in each narrative. Luke is the longest of the Gospels, longest of the four Gospels, and curiously, a Gospel for the Gentiles, but Luke's Gospel remarkably begins in the temple, the presentation of Jesus, and ends with his followers going up to the temple to pray and celebrate each day. So you have a certain attachment to the Hebrew tradition identified in Jesus and his disciples, which appears strongly in the Gentile Gospel of Luke. So that's the background. To draw from this a teaching, since all my preaching is confessional, the whole invitation of the Word of God is to find yourself in the experience of the Word of God. So where are you and where am I enfleshed in the incarnation of the Word of God mentioned in this Gospel? So let me remember with you my own journey so that it might have meaning to you in your life. About 30 years ago, when I was young at Holy Family, I was in midlife. You'd think I'm in midlife now. I know I look very young, but I'm not in midlife. About 30 years ago. And I was reading everything I could find about midlife spirituality. And there's an abundance of writing about the passage in midlife spirituality. Everything I could find, I read it. One of the remarkable books is Richard Rohr, Falling Upward. It deals with the two halves of life, the first half and the second half of life. He proposes, and it's verified in all the writings, that the tendency in the first half of life is to build, to be active, to achieve, to conquer, We're busy about many things. Parents are carpooling, they're running, they're hoping the kids get through college, they're involved and involved, and it's a very busy time of life. It's not always reflective, it's active, it's alive. My life, young, ambitious, in the power structure, all these things make up typically the quality of the first half of life. And then there's a transition, there's a passage. In midlife, it's very typical for a person to have gone through some experience of death, the death of a close person, or perhaps some great failure in life, perhaps a betrayal, something invasive that somehow becomes part of the formation and the awareness which is uplifted in midlife. We are preparing now for the second passage of life, which is focused on relationships, not achieving. I don't want to be a cardinal anymore. I'm in the second half of life. Relationships, not achieving, not importance, but the bonds of a relationship become primary in the interest of a person in the second half of life. So about 30 years ago, this is where I was. I was somewhere in this passage. It's not a moment. It's a whole sequence. It's a passage. And I was somewhere there reading all this, young at Holy Family, and Cardinal Manning died. He was my spiritual mentor. I spent 20 years with him. We traveled the world together. We prayed every night together. I knew his soul, and he knew my soul. We wrote journals together. We exchanged our journals. The bond, the spiritual bond of a journey in faith was deep and profound between Cardinal Manning and myself. When he died, it changed my life. Not long after he had died, I got a call from Ireland saying my father had a stroke. He was 88 years old. So I left Holy Family and I went back to Ireland and visited my father in the hospital. And I saw him every day for about a week, maybe 10 days. We spent a lot of time together. My father was my God. He was an icon in my life. He was a man of extraordinary faith, went to Mass every day, extraordinary transparent integrity, justice, honor, an honorable man. A huge influence and huge icon for me in my life. The values which not only did he speak, but he lived, influenced me hugely in the journey of life. And now it's the cedar of Lebanon had fallen, and he was in the hospital recovering from a stroke. But he was getting better. And after about 10 days, the doctor seemed to think he would be okay. So one evening, I said to him, I have to go back to Holy Family tomorrow. There are many things that I have to do after the cardinal died. I was his executor. I have to clean up things. And the parish was beginning to grow, and I had a responsibility to the people of Holy Family. He said, please go. I'll be fine. And that evening, I was leaving the next morning. I'm going to pray with him before I left him. And he said, I want you to do something for me before you go. I said, okay. He said, I'd like you to hear my confession. Me hearing confession of my icon, my father, a decent, honorable, incredible man I thought was sinless, I would hear his confession. I said, okay. So I heard his confession, prayed with him, I blessed him, and I left. And I was back here about a week, and got a call from a nun who was in charge of the hospital saying your father died. The last experience I had with him was a profound spiritual connection. hearing his confession, praying with him, and blessing him. Then he entered into the house of the Lord. And after he died, because I am a person of faith, and I believe the Holy Spirit enlightens me and leads me in my life, all his teachings became clearer to me. I remembered everything that he ever taught me. I remember the example of his life, the quality of his life, the lessons he spoke to me, the lessons he lived that touched my life. The wonder of his life came back to me in a new way. It was like the apostles in the gospel. They're in a midlife understanding. They followed Jesus. They saw the miracles. They achieved things. They fed the multitude. They saw Jesus raising the dead. And they were the select group, the inner circle, the ones who would be important in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus suffered, the midlife. He suffered. They were disappointed. Their hopes were crushed. Their dreams were no more. And they were despondent. And then Jesus rose from the dead and gave them new hope and new possibility. And then he took them to Bethany and he ascended into heaven and he was no longer among them. And now they would have to live by faith. And he said, stay in the city until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you will understand everything I said to you and all the teachings of my public ministry. You will understand everything when the Spirit comes upon you. That's the teaching here. I want you to think about the person in your life that most touched you, the person who inspired you, the person who sacrificed for you, who believed in you, the person who forgave you in your life, the person who understood you in your life, and how the gospel came to you through that person. And when that person died, and because you are a person of faith, and the Spirit leads you, you will remember in a new way the gift of that life, the teachings of that life. You will find a new sense of meaning in your life through remembering all that he taught you and everything that he did in your presence. That's the teaching of the Ascension. It's real in your life. It is real in my life. I still hear the voice of my Father. People think I'm losing it a little bit, and sometimes I am, but I talk to my Father. His Spirit is alive. Everything he taught me, it's alive. That's exactly what happens in this gospel reading. Jesus says, all that I taught you and all that you ever saw me do, go forth and teach the world by the manner in which you speak and the manner in which you live. Teach the world all that I left in legacy to you. It's extraordinary. And I do believe the way we'll understand and enflesh this gospel and bring it to life for us is to find an incarnation in our own human experience of the person who loved you and blessed you, endowed you and inspired you in your life, and to call that Spirit back into your life and celebrate how God spoke to you through that person. Then you will understand what Jesus said to his disciples in this extraordinary ministry moment in the life of the Gospels here, where he must go and the Spirit must come before you can grasp in a deep and enduring way the wonder of God's revelation in Jesus Christ and in the person in your life who made Jesus Christ present. It's wonderful. Years ago, I was doing a retreat in Ireland, and the first day of the retreat, the director said to me, I want you to spend this day in the presence of somebody who loved you and who blessed you. Just walk in the presence of that person. Live in the presence of that person. Hear the voice of that person in your life. And I did. And I went to the cemetery. And I reflected. And in that prayer, the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven, the gift of the Spirit to teach me the real meaning of life, came back to me. And I said, now I understand that Jesus had to go in order to send the Spirit. That this wonderful person in your life had to go in order for you to bring the legacy, that sacred inheritance, in order for you to bring that to life. So, my friends, if you want to make this day holy, remember that person today and walk in the presence of that person. Listen to the voice, and your day will be holy. Amen.